الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض، يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر. We are living at a time when the daily news about the world, especially about the Muslim world, is quite depressing. In Palestine, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, Kashmir, in so many other places, Muslim life and Muslim property, Muslim honor has been declared fair game by those who wield worldly power. And it's not just armies waging this war. There's a whole gamut of institutions, from sophisticated research centers to slick media, and all of these seem to be dedicated to the campaign to sow doubt and to spread confusion, discord, and to denigrate Islam. And we find that in hotspot after hotspot around the world, the sword is busy prosecuting a war on Islam. And the pen is also busy in conducting a war on Islam and in trying to foment a war within Islam itself. يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ. Their intention is to extinguish the nur, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But despite this very grim description of the current Muslim state of affairs, these are also times when people all over the world are coming to Islam in unprecedented numbers. At a time when Muslims have lost control of the sword and the pen, Islam is finding new followers every day, everywhere. In fact, within the Muslim world also, there are signs of awakening. Muslims are coming back to Islam after having toyed with one false ideology after another. Colonialism had hit us very hard. It subjugated us physically, politically, economically, culturally, and mentally. The Muslim world was subjugated. The secular education system that Muslims embraced as a ticket out of their miseries during that period of oppression, instead of solving problems, seem to have compounded the problems of the Muslim community globally. It produced self-doubt, it produced self-hate. In fact, it produced generations of perfect strangers within the house of Islam. And these perfect strangers were then given leadership roles in all areas of Muslim societies. The Prophet ﷺ describes these leaders, أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ أَلْسِنَةُ الْعَرَبِ, that even their tongues will be the tongue of the Arab, وَلَكِنْ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الْأَعَاجِمِ, but their heart will be the heart of the kafir. These are people who hated their language, people who hated their culture, people who even hated their religion. And unfortunately, it is such people who rule the Muslim world till today. But again, in spite of this grim picture, the scene is changing. More women, for example, are choosing hijab and are becoming more assertive about hijab as a symbol of their Islamic identity. There seems to be a greater interest in Islamic knowledge. You find Quran lectures are attracting crowds that were really not seen in the past. Even the nature of the questions that people are asking about Islam is changing. There are more how-to and what-to questions than why questions coming from even the secular educated groups. And growth can also be seen in Islamic activism, in politics, in media, in relief and charity work, in education, community services. All of these seem to be attracting new workers and the new organizations springing up all over. There definitely is a new enthusiasm, there's a new energy and a new awareness of Islam. And Allah declares, وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, that Allah will bring his light to perfection, even though the disbelievers may detest it. But there are problems within this awakening. The period of colonialism was a big crash in which our ship was destroyed, the ship of Islam. In the immediate aftermath, survival was the main goal, and people came with whatever lifeboats they could. However, now is the time to pick up the pieces and to rebuild that ship of Islam. However, the problem is that we've been living in the lifeboats for such a long time that we have begun to confuse the lifeboats with the ship. And there are many examples to explain what exactly I'm saying. Take, for example, the schools for secular education. They seem to have been one such lifeboat. They seem to have imparted some skills necessary for survival in a changed world. Although they impoverished Muslim education, they impoverished Muslim society, Muslim culture, tremendously in so many ways. In fact, in ways that even direct military occupation could not. They were quite destructive. But today, almost 100 years after that period, so many well-meaning people who get excited about spreading education in the Muslim world can think of nothing more than establishing more of these very same secular schools, with all the harm and destruction that secular materialist philosophy and its worldview has brought to Islam and Muslims. I'll give you another example. Take Campaigns for Democracy. They were another such lifeboat. And essentially, these campaigns for democracy were aimed at returning control of Muslim affairs to Muslims and thereby seeking liberation of Muslim communities and Muslim lands from foreign occupation. Today, unfortunately, democracy or no democracy, nowhere do Muslims have any control over their affairs. But this lifeboat that probably served some limited purpose in the past has become the ship. And the Khilafah, the Islamic system of governance, remains a strange entity. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ described how in the Dina Bada'a Gharib, that this religion began as something very strange and unfamiliar, was Sayya'udu kama bada'a, and it will return to being a thing quite strange. So even the very system of Islamic governance has become a strange entity, and people essentially have forgotten and have carelessly passed this by and have become content with that lifeboat that may have served some limited purpose, but really is not the ship of Islam. It is not the Khilafah. Another example are Islamic organizations. Islamic organizations were also such a lifeboat. And essentially, these emerged aiming at gathering like-minded people so that they could focus their resources and focus their energies on some of the more important things, the more important challenges that Muslims were facing. Yet, each of these organizations is now considered to be the ship by the occupants and the captains of those organizations. And they seem to be creating new li lines of cleavage within the ummah. Kullu hizbin bima ladayhi farihun, as is described, that every group exulting in its own faction and in its own worldview. There's another issue. Most of our new activism thrives on sincerity. It thrives on concern. There's tremendous drive and enthusiasm, but unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be much knowledge or guidance. You know, inna hadha deena ilm, this religion is its knowledge. But as regards knowledge, it seems to be far short of the tremendous enthusiasm that is displayed by very many well-intended Muslims. There are, for example, Islamic relief organizations, and these organizations provide much-needed support for the destitute millions throughout the world. But many of these organizations don't show a sensitivity to check whether their fundraising methods are Islamic, for example, or whether they are distributing the zakah according to the Sharia, whether their operations meet the Islamic guidelines. So there may be tremendous sincerity, but there seems to be definitely some want of knowledge and Islamic guidance. Another example are Islamic organizations that are focused on media and political activism. Now, media and political activism are definitely very important fields. But unfortunately, those organizations, Muslim organizations that seem to be dedicated to media and political activism, sometimes say things that the media or the political establishment they are talking to would like to hear, even if they're totally wrong and un-Islamic. There seems to be this desire to want to appease and to win the favor of a very critical non-Muslim public, even though by attempting to win their favor, sometimes these Muslim organizations say things that are patently contradictory to Islam. This becomes quite evident in the debates raging about polygamy, for example, or apostasy, even the Khilafah. Oftentimes, the very fundamental principles of Islam are denigrated by those within the Muslim community that are dedicated to challenging the media, but oftentimes becoming apologists. They seem to be doing as much damage as good through, unfortunately, again, ignorance of the Sharia and carelessness as well. The same observation can be made about our efforts at spreading Islamic knowledge, as I mentioned earlier. It's embarrassing how many of those giving lectures, for example, issuing fatwas, not necessarily calling them fatwas, but issuing legal opinions nonetheless, and conducting Quran lessons. And these people simply have no qualifications for the job. Yet they find a ready audience amongst those who confuse eloquence with scholarship, with true scholarship. In fact, there's a hadith where the Blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Inna Allah la yaqbidul ilma intiza'an, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not snatch the knowledge of Islam by ripping it out of the chests of men. Walakin yaqbiduhu biqabdil ulama. But Allah will take the knowledge of Islam away by taking the scholars of Islam away, either by them dying and no one to replace them, or by them not being supported and patronized by communities and then leaving. And in their absence, فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسًا جُهَّالًا. People will take the ignoramuses, the fools, those who have no deep knowledge of Islam. They are not راسخون في العلم. They will take these people as their leaders. And these ignorant leaders, أَفْتَوْا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ, will then issue legal edicts without true knowledge, without depth of knowledge. فَدَلُّوا وَأَدَلُّوا. They will be astray, and they will lead all those who listen to them astray. So this is another problem. Tremendous enthusiasm, no doubt, but very little knowledge and true guidance. So our renewed interest in our religion is great. But it's good to remember that Islamic revival will not take place through the blind leading the blind. Imam Malik once said that لَا يُصْلِحَ آخِرَ هَذِي الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا مَا أَصْلَحَ أَوَّلَهَا. Only that methodology, that system which reformed the Ummah in its nascency will reform it in its later stages of degradation. So, our Islamic work, whether da'wah, whether relief work, political or media activism, requires guidance from the Sharia, which in turn requires knowledge and understanding. And recognizing the need for such guidance from the two true scholars, the true ulama, is the first step in getting it. There's a very good example in the work done in the field of Islamic economics and finance during the last decades. It was really the collaboration of ulama, of religious scholars, with experts in economics and finance that produced the body of knowledge today that really did not exist before in this form. So what we need is a similar effort in other fields. Muslim journalists, for example, working with ulama who are proficient in that discipline can help evolve an Islamic protocol for journalism. Muslim activists working with ulama, those who are involved in political activism and the media, can really help to evolve an Islamic protocol for media and political activism. Relief organizations, for example, can establish Sharia advisory boards of ulama to ensure that their operations are within the bounds of the Sharia. And the similar could be said about educational institutions collaborating with ulama in those fields to develop a coherent and a comprehensive, truly Islamic syllabus. So what we need to remember, I think, is that by bringing our own house in order first, is really the only response we can and we must have to the threats, to the challenges, and also to the fears that we face today. Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi anfusihim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in their hearts first, until we change what is within our hearts and also within what is our homes, which seem to have become quite derelict. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better guidance and wisdom, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us the right path and support us in this noble endeavor of re-establishing and rebuilding this noble ship of Islam. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.